Read the Bible. Today's reading is Ephesians 1. You can find it on page 1156. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfilment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Good morning. If I've not met you before, my name's Stu. I'm one of the pastors here at Southern Cross, but been away for a couple of weeks, so it's good to be back amongst you. And good to be in a letter like this, written to the church in Ephesus. Leave your Bibles open there at Ephesians 1. We're going to dive in soon, but let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to know who we are, to know what we have, and to know our hope. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what a family. Can you imagine it? What if you could boast and say, hey, check out a picture of the fam, whip out your phone, flick through a couple of shots and say, yeah, hear that? What would it mean to be part of this family? Well, let me tell you what it would mean. This would be your joint. This would be your holiday house. Kind of puts the shack at Evan's head to shame. And if you grab some milk from the corner store, go down to IGA or Spa, you'd take a spin in this baby. And forget Sunday soccer at Lismore High, okay, because you just play in your backyard. You see, these are some of the blessings you'd be set to receive if you were part of this family. And yet today, as we read of the Apostle Paul, he writes to the church of Ephesus and says, you think this family has some blessings? Well, I'm part of a family with a more impressive list. He says, if your trust is in Christ, if you find your identity in him, if your salvation is secured in him, if your hope is in him, you're a child of God. You're a member of the family. But I don't know. If you walked into most church gatherings across the country today and you looked around, would you get the feeling that these people knew how blessed they were? That you'd be struck. Imagine someone who doesn't know Christ comes amongst us. They'd be struck and go, how positive they were. How thankful. How generous. How hopeful. How united. Or would they be struck by something else? Paul says we're royalty. We are sons and daughters of the King, blessed beyond our imagination. Well, let's dive into Ephesians 1 and see what blessings our family is entitled to. Now, what would it be like to be a royal? You know, to be a child of the King. What sort of things, if you applied your mind, thought about it, you know, playing fetch with these guys, or maybe Weet-Bix at this table, but this is the one I like the best, scoring a seat like this at sporting events. Well, Paul tells the Ephesians you don't have to dream. You don't have to dream about being a royal. You're part of the fam. You're a child of the King. Have a look at verse 4 and 5. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. How amazing is that? God the King has chosen us, predestined us to be his kids. That has got to blow your mind. When you go on to chapter 2, Paul reminds us of the state we were in when he adopted us. Let's just say it wasn't when God walked into the orphanage and saw that we could play the violin and we had a nice smile. In fact, it is quite the opposite. How cool is it that God in his grace has adopted us as his sons and daughter? I mean, look at us. Sons and daughters, we get to be his kids. And so it's no surprise that Paul starts off his letter by saying, praise God. I mean, we've gone from rags to riches. Have a look at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. As adopted children of God, man, we are blessed. If you think the British royals have got some perks or some blessings, you might be able to play fetch with some corgis. Well, this is what we have in store for adopted kids of God. You know, what does it mean to have our old man as king of the world? You better believe it. We get some access to some pretty cool stuff. Listen to it. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. This is not a stingy father. He's like opening every door. It's like we've hit 21 and we've got the keys to the house, or in his case, the palace. You know, Susan and I got to eyeball Buckingham Palace, but the closest we got was here. All we could do was just kind of peer through the gates. But Paul says, no, your family, come on in. And the gates open wide. You stroll up to the front door and unlock the blessings of the King. So let's have a look at them. They come thick and fast, so get ready. Verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. You see, this morning, if your trust is in Christ, you have been chosen. And God's choosing of us was not sort of some afterthought that he was bored on a Friday night. He just wanted to up his friend count on Facebook. We wanted to get some more followers on Twitter. You see, God the King, our Father, chose us before Facebook, before Twitter existed. He chose us before the world existed. You see, your name was in the family tree of royalty even before you were a twinkle in your mother's eye. But what other blessings extend from our dad? In verse 5 and 6, we've seen we've been adopted. We've been redeemed through his blood. And there's no secret man's business in verse 9. He lets us in on the ultimate plan of the family business. Verse 9, and he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. You see, here we get to look in on the king's ultimate plan. We're not locked out of the boardroom in the palace or the round table. The will of God is made known to us, his kids. The plan is there for us to see. All things in heaven and on earth brought under the rule of Christ. That's a pretty bold family business plan. Because did you hear it? To bring all things. Coca-Cola, Apple, Windows, Nike, America, Vladimir Putin, Barack Obama, all under Christ. And yet now as sons and daughters, there is even more in store for us in the future in verse 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Being in Christ, now seen as sons and daughters, means there's an inheritance. The great hope that when the king of his world calls time, Jesus is made head, we too will share in that amazing banquet. We too will see our king face to face. And it's the Holy Spirit that is the mark, that marks us out as his kids. As elsewhere Paul says, it enables us to cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. You see, being a child of the king sure has its benefits. Or as Paul reminds us, blessings. Adopted as God's kids, we are lavished with every spiritual blessing. We're taken in, shown the amazing plans of the king. You see, being in with the right people sure does help. When I was 18, one of my youth leaders was playing rugby for New South Wales in an exhibition match down here in town at Oaks Oval. And obviously the game was good to watch, but the thing I remembered the most was actually after the game. You see, being in with him meant I got to go all sorts of places, even into the members' room, where Australian rugby royalty were hanging out, chatting about the game. So here I was, this skinny 18-year-old, standing before rugby royals, guys like Michael Liner, and if you know your rugby, even Buddha was there. You see, today Paul says, being in Christ means you're not just kind of in with royalty, we are royalty. We are part of God's family, sons and daughters of the King, and truly blessed. And yet, would people pick that up? As people saw us, but by the way we hold ourselves, by the way we stand, by the way we speak, would they get a sense that you're royalty? And I don't mean by the way that you wave. But that those of us in Christ, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Would people pick that up? Because we are thankful people. Because we are content. Because we are so generous. Because we are rich. Because we know joy. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. We have the blessing of being royal. And yet what do we do with that status? How do we respond to this grand news? And what's our approach? How do we respond to our King? Well, let's continue with Paul and see. Well, William, Kate and Georgie Boy have just finished their Australian tour, but the press have had an absolute field day. From Kate donning on her yellow dress as she arrived in Australia to match our proud sporting heritage, but then stepping up with the bat in high heels, God bless her. British newspapers are saying after this trip, all the positive media reports, they reckon the Queen is going to have a bigger smile on her face than her David Bailey portrait. But I reckon the smile would be wiped off her face if William and Kate decided to take all the blessings of being a royal, ignore the Queen's request, grab the royal jet, the 11-man entourage, and, you know, do a Pacific tour of sorts, bypass New Zealand, Australia, head straight for Hawaii. Then with their new tans figuring, well, we're in Hawaii, we might as well go over to the United States, head straight for Vegas, grab the funds from the Swiss bank account and go a couple of rounds of blackjack. How do you think the Queen would feel now? Not happy. Well, what do we do with the blessings of being a royal? Do we take all the perks but deny the relationship? Hey, yeah, look, thanks for that whole redemption thing. Oh, yeah, and choosing us before the creation of the world. Oh, yeah, yes, yeah, forgiveness, yeah, that's right, yeah, that too. Now have a listen to what Paul says. He reminds us of our status as kids of the King, but he shows us what his hope for the family is. Verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. You see, after reminding us of these amazing blessings of being royalty, Paul says, I'm praying for you guys, which is pretty awesome. But he says that he's actually praying non-stop, but he's praying that we will know the King better. Not just that, that we'll thrive in the privilege. Not just that we'll revel in the blessings, but that we'd know our good King. We'd know the one who adopted us. We'd know the one who paid the price to redeem us, to make us his. The one who lavished us with every spiritual blessing. That we would desperately want to know him. We would want to know him better and better. We would want him. And nor do we want to take these blessings and somehow contrive it and make it our boast. You know, somehow turn the thing so as to say that our choosing, our destiny, our adoption, our redemption, our forgiveness, our inheritance rested on us. You see, Paul has laboured to show how these amazing blessings are from our King. So not for us to steal the glory, but direct the glory to him. So in our status as royals, children of the King, we don't take the blessings and reject our Father. We don't take the blessings and claim them as our very own. Now Paul shows us. He says it's for God's praise, for his glory, verse 3. Verse 6, verse 12, verse 14. Well, I guess the time will come when we get to see what Prince George grows up to be. But you can be sure that things would go a little rocky in the palace if as a teenager he waltzed around the place acting as if all the pomp and prestige around him had come from his own hands. And nor would the Queen tolerate the prince basking in the benefits of being in the House of Windsor and give her the cold shoulder, ignoring her requests, not responding to her texts, and pushing her away when she came in for a hug. So how about us? Could we ever be guilty of rejoicing in the blessings of Christ, knowing a peace in our mind but our heart feel no desire or affection to want to know God better? Maybe for you can find it hard to not look down on others, because since becoming a Christian, you've made some progress perhaps, or maybe in the choice itself, you put those things down to your effort, or to your intellect, your moral standards, your strong willpower, then you will boast. But Paul says, no, it's for the praise of his glory. And surely that's what we can't help but do. Paul prays the same drive for us, that we would want that too. We would want to know God. We would want to know the Father. We would want to know him. And so we wouldn't be stuck up, spoilt royals. We would understand more than ever that our heritage rests not with us, but miraculously, we were adopted into his family, and the blessings that flowed led us to overwhelming thanks for our King and strong affection toward him, and to consistent and constant praise, never to us, but to the praise of his glory. Can you imagine being part of the royal family? But praise be to God that in him, that in Christ, I am. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's in Christ, we, are royalty. We are family. We are royals. We are adopted. We are sons and daughters of the King. And the blessings that have flowed, He has bestowed to us, chosen before the creation of the world, redeemed, forgiven, revelation of His will, inheritance guaranteed. And these blessings don't tempt us to grab them and drive off into the sunset, but we drive to Him in praise. So what of our royal life together? As people see us as a family, would they pick up that we are royals, that we are children of the King? Maybe it's the air of confidence about us, not a triumphant arrogance, but our unflappability, our calmness even when things seem to be out of control, our contentment in a world with chronic discontent, and the fact that we are rich when perhaps by our neighbours' standards we are poor. Maybe we confuse them, because we talk about our King, but in the same breath say He's our dad. But they'd be interested. They'd be attracted. But not just because of me, but because my gospel community or your small group say they want to know Him too. They might be driven away because we boast not in Him, but our boast is in ourselves. We are so critical about everything. Always complaining about how we're so hard done by, but oblivious to the fact of the blessings we rest upon, or the way we're so pedantic about our wealth and we act more like a Scrooge than someone who draws from an inexhaustible wealth. James was in the same year as me at uni, but was studying a different degree, but there was a nobility about him. And it wasn't that he was royalty. It definitely wasn't his attire. He certainly wasn't clean cut. He looked more like he was the lead of a death metal band. But it was the way that he carried himself. He seemed like a dignitary. But he didn't have an entourage. He didn't command people around him. He just seemed in control. And I know he wasn't rich. He hadn't gone to some fancy private school. But he had an air of presence about him. And yet for all those qualities, he was so balanced and grounded. He wasn't stuck up. He didn't talk about himself a lot, but something he did talk of often was his King. He didn't berate people though. He didn't Bible bash them. He just talked about his King with such warmth. You couldn't help but want to get to know this person, this King. This royal, his father, with whom he spoke of such warmth. James acted like royalty, but the thing he wanted most of all was to know the King. In Christ we are adopted as kids of the King. In Him we are royalty. In Him we are family. And so may we live like royals. Men and women who know the blessings that are theirs. Men and women who shout, "Long live the King!" And men and women who want to know their King better because He is our dad. Let's pray to Him now. Our dear Father, we do want to thank You for adopting us as Your children and then lavishing Your blessings on us, that in Christ, in Your Son, we have every spiritual blessing. Father, we are sorry for the times we forget the riches and the blessings that are ours in Christ, that we can lead lives of great discontent rather than of great thanks. So please help us to revel in the news that You are our King, but more than that, that You are our Father. Please help us to want to know You and to live for the praise of Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.